We are the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, let's just say the 6 o'clock news will never be the same again. The days of Walter Cronkite and three network channels has long passed. Well, journalism has morphed into news, opinion, and ideological rants, all passed off as unbiased, honest news. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. So your search continues for the Out Loud truth. I get it. Well, here it won't be just the news. It'll be how we discuss the news. A drive time show you can count on weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We call it Nozzle. World news, political talk, stories that impact your health. Honor our heroes, stories that'll inspire you. What you'll hear next is the heartbeat of the people. The hottest topics, the news stories that trend. It's time, friends, for a new stream of consciousness. It's Nozzle. Countdown to the out-of-control Chinese space station, that is. So it's expected to have a pretty fiery crash to Earth. We don't quite know where it's going to be, but there are some cities in the U.S. that you've got to be watching for. New York, Chicago, Barcelona, Beijing, Istanbul, Rome, and Toronto. Now, I'm going to tell you, Ava, John, if I got my pick out of those cities, New York, Barcelona, right, Beijing, Chicago, Istanbul, Rome, and Toronto, and there are some other possibilities, but these are, like they say, like some of the main cities this thing could hit, this space station from China that's out of control, right? Okay, cool. When you look at those cities, if I'm going to pick one of those cities that it should hit, it's got to be Beijing, since these bastards created the problem. What do you think?
Oh, definitely.
Right? It's got to be Beijing, John. I mean, you can't be New York or Barcelona. The Chinese did this. This is their out-of-control space station. If it's going to hit, it's got to hit your home turf, don't you think?
Well, certainly if they want to take responsibility for it. As a Bay Area guy, I'm probably hoping for Toronto because the Raptors look good. And I'm really pulling for the Warriors to repeat. But I definitely think it would be a good idea if they get a dose of their own medicine, so to speak.
Dose of their own medicine. Now, when you say Bay Area, let's tell folks, too, we'll get into that a little more later, but that Bay Area meaning San Francisco Bay. Of course, a lot of Bay Areas, but he's north of that area, so that'll be interesting there. Yeah. Well, anyways, let me tell folks here. So this is for real now. This is predicted. They had this down to like a two-week window, but now they're expected it to come back to Earth on April 1st is the prediction at this point. Now, it could vary, you know, X amount of hours either side of this thing.
Why is it always China that has this problem?
Have you noticed this?
Has this been a theme or is it just my imagination?
Why is it that China is the one that's always having their shit fall out of the stratosphere? Do you know, John?
Right.
Well, probably because they haven't stolen enough of our guidance technology to be able to control these things.
That is a beautiful answer. This is a beautiful answer. This I will accept,
probably
Ava.
True.
Yeah. This is very scientific answer John gives us today, and I'm going to buy it, actually. I think he's right. You know, they are all stealing our stuff. You're right. Between the Russians and the Chinese, they've stolen a tremendous amount of American technology. The problem is they're not only smart enough to steal it, John, but they're smart enough to improve on it and then come back and hit us with it. We'll get into a little more of that later when we talk about Russia in just a moment here. But let me first finish telling you about this thing. Now, this is supposed to crash. You're going to see, wherever it comes into the atmosphere, you're evidently going to see this thing because it's going to turn into a series of fireballs. Now, they don't know how much will be left when it gets to Earth specifically. They say it's a remote chance, but, you know, what does that mean really, right? But here's the thing that I'm really fascinated with or a little worried about actually here. So there's a chance that part of the station containing a hazardous hydrazine could plummet into any of these populated areas we just mentioned. And hydrazine, by the way, is a chemical which is in the rocket fuel, and it causes irritation to the eyes, throat, dizziness, and can lead to cancerous tumors. So this does not sound real good if this thing did hit. You always kind of hear worst case scenario, but it kind of never ends up being worst case scenario, does it, Ava? No, I don't think it ever. I mean,
no, you can bet the Democrats are planning on or praying it will land in New York City and hit Trump Tower.
Right. Well, they're probably going to pin it on Trump. You know they're going to blame it on him.
For sure. Yeah, they'll blame him somehow. Yes,
he'll get the blame for this one. It won't be the Chinese. Oh, yeah. It'll be, you know, that his toxic chemicals collaborated up in the atmosphere, guys, and somehow that brought the space station down a little sooner or something. But, you know, there's a lot of space junk that's circling the Earth. I mean, once you look into these stories and you see how much is out there, and a lot of these, if they're bigger than a school bus, is what I understand, then they're sort of populated on a map and they're tracking it more or less. But there are thousands and thousands of items in the universe that are circling our planet. And the gravitational force every now and then, and some of these things get out of control, and they come back to Earth. And many of them are smaller; they burn up in the in the atmosphere coming in. But some are big enough, and this one is again bigger than a school bus. And with that, we could see a problem here. But anyways, we will be monitoring that, I assure you. And as we're speaking about all of the universe stuff, I want to talk about what John was just alluding to with stealing technology. Very interesting story. Russia says today, another big news story, that it has conducted another test of its deadly nuclear ICBM. This is the one they were kind of bragging about recently, if you both have been following this story here. So
yes.
The Russian Defense Ministry, they released a whole video of it, right? And it's a nuclear capable, it's the second test of this thing. It's called Sarmat.
Isn't that the hypersonic one?
This is the hypersonic, it goes like sound, four times the speed of sound or something like that.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
So this is a super heavy liquid fueled ICBM that's built to replace the Soviet era missiles, back when the Soviet Union was still in play,
Yeah.
But here's the thing about this story. So Vladimir Putin, of course, our president, we affectionately like to beat up on here in the America. John, are you still drinking, I wanted to ask you, Russian vodka at this days, or have you given that up, by the way? I wanted to ask you at the top of the...
No, I'm off the vodka. There's so many good ones made in the United States that I don't go overseas for anything.
So no more Russian vodka. Okay, I think a lot of people have given that up. Now, anything with Russian, you can't have anymore. They've made it into... a disease like that, hydrazine there that's going to fall in the Chinese capsule, more or less, But anyways, the Russian president, so he's at a speech here, and he comes out. He's at the Federal Assembly in Moscow, and he says this new Sarmat ICBM is so formidable. It has practically no distant limits. Now, this is a brand new video that's just released. None of the prospective anti-ballistic missile systems pose an obstacle to it. These are the words of Putin now that he says. He suggests that the missile could be armed with supersonic warheads and defense countermeasures to skirt ABM systems. This weapon is designed to devastate an area the size of Texas, they go on to say. And let me just read this last thing to you, and then I want you both to comment on this. He says... I would like to tell those who have been trying to escalate the arms race for the past 15 years, Vladimir Putin goes on to say, to gain unilateral advantages over Russia and introduce unlawful restrictions and sanctions to hinder our country's development, you have failed to contain Russia. Now, he says this in a televised address, by the way, and it ends with this, and I quote, "No one listened to us. But you will listen to us now." What do you make of that statement, John, for real? What do you think of that with the Russian president coming out? It's kind of biting words, ain't it?
Well, it reminds me of Khrushchev taking off his shoe and beating it on the lectern at the UN. I think it's posturing. He says that they could have the nuclear technology. Everything is could. It's in the testing phase. And it's the question is really, do they want to use it? Are they willing to use it? Are they crazy enough to use it?
And end the world, right?
And basically, it's the mutually assured destruction, because certainly, regardless of whether they can blow up X amount of space, we can blow up an equal amount with technology that hopefully is better or equal to.
Right.
So... even if it doesn't have the fuel or the range capacity, mm-hmm. we certainly have the net capacity as far as quantity and quality to counter anything they can do. So it's back to it's mutually assured destruction. Who wants to do that?
Yeah, I find, Ava, the Russian president very brazen these days. This isn't the first time he's done this in the past couple of few weeks. What's going on, you think?
Oh, that's his MO. It always has been. He's always been that way. It's just that, you know, maybe you're not noticing it until now, but he's always been like that.
Of course, in all full disclosure, I don't think we've done a good job here in building relationships with Russia. Not that they've been good partners either. Well, listen, also on Nozzle here, the news today, Sessions, our famed attorney general, he comes out and he says no to a second special counsel. There's been a lot of speculation on this. He says no, and he hires some attorney, which I'm not hearing a lot of good things about him. We'll talk about that today as well, this John Huber, this attorney from Utah here. Also, Rome is on a state of high alert for Easter based on some possible terrorist attacks. And they're the one country out in Europe, actually, that has not experienced a direct attack from Islam. But this could be a real problem again. Pope Francis is on the record coming out and saying there is no hell. That's really firing up today and trending today. And also, I definitely want to catch up on this Laura Ingraham story. It's fascinating to me. She's apologizing after the fact as advertisers flee. And as is David Hogg, the student says, not enough. And it's getting pretty feisty over there. Very interesting what's going on with that conversation. The extreme vetting story is still out there. Today is National Doctors' Day as well. And again, it is a holiday weekend, you two. It is Happy Easter. It is all of that. It is Good Friday. It is Passover. It is a interesting time, I think, of the year. People can step back and give faith. And want to welcome you both on our Nozzle Nerds today on Nozzle News. Ava Armstrong is here and John Corden. And let's start with John Corden. John, I'm going to let you take 15 seconds, please, and tell folks. Now, you're a Nozzle Nerd virgin today, so tell folks, please, a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am glad to be here. I'm a displaced Midwesterner after living in Europe for a few years in Berlin as a member of the U.S. Army Berlin Brigade, back when the wall was up. Mm-hmm. I decided to come back home and said, I'm going to go where it doesn't snow. So I've been here in California since the early 1980s. Mm. And I live, as I mentioned earlier, I'm up in the Bay Area, just about an hour north of San Francisco.
Yeah, you're up north of the wine country. That is a unbelievable, beautiful area of the country. So you're blessed there. Those redwood trees out there in the San Francisco. Man, those are majestic, I got to tell you, man. So I've always envisioned climbing one of those, but I'm afraid I'd fall on my ass, John, you know, and then that's a long drop down, I have to tell you, man. Have you ever climbed one of those, John, a redwood tree?
I've never seen anybody climb one except the loggers.
Yeah.
And as you know, that's one of the most dangerous professions there are, so it's not a hobby very many people have out here.
No, I'm just talking trash here, bro. You'll forgive me. Ava Armstrong, please tell folks what's going on for you on this beautiful Good Friday, young lady.
Well, I'm enjoying Passover, and I am a corporate dropout, and I'm an author on Amazon, and I am also a producer with America Out Loud. And John is also an author on Amazon. Yeah. His debut novel is Desire. And tell him about it, John.
Oh, sure. Glad to. Desire is part one of a three-part series that takes place. It's based in San Francisco. So if you can imagine that a young man assisted by two young ladies and another young man are running a PR agency out of an old Victorian home on Lombard Street. At least that's what the world thinks they are. In reality, Meyer PR is a black ops political organization funded by a billionaire in Los Angeles. And their job, when they're tasked to do so, is to basically get rid of corrupt politicians. And they'll do that by supporting a candidate who runs against corrupt politicians, or if they have to, they'll expose the corruption using various forms of trickery. So in Desire, the first one that's on Amazon today, the story takes place during the time running up to a first election of the year primary. And then in the second book, Dance, which will be out in about 2 months.
Wow.
takes place during a general election. And then in my research, I found that the most corruption, which will use buying of politicians as the primary form, takes place after people are elected, candidates are elected, but before they're sworn into office. So Duty, the third and last book in the series, which will be out before the elections this fall, covers the time in between the general and when candidates take the oath of office.
Well, we have two brilliant authors here on Nozzle today with vivid imaginations. It should be most interesting. More Nozzle in a minute.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
As tens of thousands of Palestinians are swarming the Gaza border there, 14 are killed already by the Israeli forces there. The Great March of Return. So it's been orchestrated by, who do you think? Hamas, right? They've drawn some 30,000 Palestinians to the Gaza-Israel border, and of course riots, it's a mess. I mean, riots are happening, and they're obviously prompting the Israeli snipers to shoot at some of the instigators, clearly, and it's getting very, very nasty. I don't know whether this is going to blow up to something more or not. It's hard to say, but this is kind of the, John, the biggest activity we've seen like this in quite some time right at the border there. I think this is a big story, isn't it?
Well, I think it very much is, and I think it's also a very international story, because any time that the Palestinian movement tries to mix it up with Israel, it's usually to distract from something else, or because they see a weakness from one of Israel's supporters, in this case, perhaps the U.S.
Well, and is it pure luck, or probably not really, that it's happening right at Passover here, huh?
Well, that's how the Palestinian leaders time most of their uprisings anyway.
Well, ever since the two-state solution was put into play here, and I thank George W. Bush for that. I'm saying that very, very snarky. But
also, Ava, I want to talk to you about Sessions. Were you surprised at all, for real, that there's going to be no second special counsel? Because there was a lot of talk leading up to this decision the Attorney General made, that that the high probability, there was certainly enough evidence there, people felt that there would be a second special counsel. And do you have any faith, or are you optimistic at all with this attorney out of Utah, John Huber?
No, I don't. I don't have any faith in this at all. And I'm very disappointed with Jeff Sessions. I mean, the Freedom Caucus guys and the Intel Committee guys are all calling for a special prosecutor. I don't know why Jeff Sessions will not just appoint one and get it over with. But I don't know. He for some reason, has his mind set on this Huber guy. And I don't really know a lot about the gentleman, but, you know, he's from Utah. I hope he's really good. That's all I can say.
Yeah. John, this story here with Sessions, first of all, how do you honestly feel, as I've never spoke to you before, about Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General? What kind of a job is he doing? Are you happy with him? Are you not?
Well, I'm pretty happy with him overall. One of the things that I was very afraid of following the election was that given the quagmire that Washington, D.C. is, that anyone in the new administration might say, okay, it's time to put X, Y, and Z into jail. And there's certainly a lot of opportunity to look at what's been going on over the last X number of years and say, look at all these people, look at all this corruption. Mm-hmm. But if Trump's administration was to come right in and immediately start putting people in jail, mm-hmm. which hasn't happened, most of the time people at worst lose their jobs. But how many people in D.C. that are found guilty of corruption actually ever go to prison? It's very, very few.
Yeah.
So I think taking it very slow is probably... Right. Making a lot of conservatives uncomfortable, but I think it's better to go slow than to cause an uprising, which is just going to help the Democrats.
John, that is a very interesting observation. Thank you for that. That is a really damn good observation, because you're right spot on. Most conservatives are very restless with the attorney general. You're right. Let's take a look. I want to explore more of what you just said, because I've not heard it put out that way. And you kind of hit a nerve with me a bit. And here's what it is, Eva. What I think is fascinating about what John says is this. Think back now to the campaign. Think back of the corruption, what was going on there with Comey and all that is was happening with the FBI, the Department of Justice, right, that John is alluding to, all of this that was in play. And, of course, the email scandals, all of the problems with, the uranium to Russia and on and on and on and on. Hillary Clinton Foundation, the Clinton Foundation. And so he becomes president. And, John, you're right when you say there was a lot of rambling going on about, oh, how's he going to handle this? Like, is he going to go in there and try to, like you said, John, strong arm them more or less, right? Yeah. Which mm-hmm. would have thrown the country in chaos. The country would have dropped into chaos. You agree with that statement, John, if he had done that?
Well, certainly out here, yeah. Everyone would have been. Maybe not impeachment, but certainly people would be in the streets.
Oh, yeah, it'd be in the streets. It would have been total chaos. You're right. Now, not to say that, listen, I'm not saying that some of it wasn't deserved, because I think most of us would understand the corruption goes, it's serious corruption we're talking about here. But here's what I think's fascinating about this story, the way John puts it out there, Eva. So here you had the possibilities of what everybody was thinking with Trump. And then the guy never got into office from day one without them marking him with a scandal. So when you talk about the shell game and the game of distractions in life, you two, okay, for the shell game. And you look at now, what is the, if you're a Democrat operatives and you're looking at this thing and you just lost the election, okay, with Attila the Hun, I mean Hillary Clinton, right? You just lost the election, okay? And now you've got to go back to the drawing board. And all these scandals are out there, and you know there was corruption with the DNC, Donna Brazile and her famed book of Hacked. All the things that happened there, Bernie Sanders, I mean, it's monstrous, monstrous. What's the best way to do this, John? Let's create a diversion. So we'll pin all of this on Trump. We'll start to say, it's like when you say, hey, look over there, you know, the little boy that cries wolf all the time, or look, you know, and of course we're doing something over here, but we keep telling you it's over there. It's over there. And we keep saying that to you.
I can see that now, because
there's your diversion.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. John's right.
I'm right. John said it. I pointed it out. So go ahead. Keep going. I'm right. Go ahead.
But I just so want this to get underway. You know me. I'm very impatient. But
most of us are.
You know, that's absolutely the right way to do it, though, because you do not want Trump's fingerprints on this. Okay.
So maybe Colonel Warshak would be, if John's been listening to the program, he has, and he's hurt Colonel Warshak mm-hmm. before, that he knows that probably Colonel Warshak has been properly correct here. And Ava Armstrong and Jim McKay and maybe Dennis too, and many others on the platform mm-hmm. and probably yours truly here as well, have been bad boys and girls.
Yes. Yes, we've been a little intemperate, maybe.
Well, we're impatient, John. We're impatient. But I think this was a diversion. I've actually been studying this for a while, Ava. Again, I love the psychology of these kinds of things. And as you look at the mm-hmm. psychology of it, the thing is, I've been watching the news reports in recent days, as we always do, but I've been watching very carefully and listening to a lot of the Democratic channels and the talking points, because I'm curious to get into their mindset as to where they're at. And what they're doing now is they've got all the Democratic operatives out in front saying, oh, there's Trump. Oh, there's scandals. Man, this guy has never had a day without a scandal. This guy is just a, you know, he's had scandals from day one. The man is reckless. He's doing, look what he's doing to our country. He's been a train wreck since he stepped into the Oval Office.
And yeah, but you know what? All that stuff, though, is just getting, it's getting repeated over and over again by the mainstream media, and it's just, it has nothing. They have nothing.
Well, but what I would say back to you, with all of that being said, Ava, when they're using all that out in front here as they're doing, clearly they created this shitstorm, you see? They created this storm here of activity. So in other words, this is exactly what they wanted. This is the diversion game. I mean, if you've got Trump over here as a puppet, constantly being, mocked and harassed, and the guy can't, and you pin all this on him, he's a xenophobe, he's a racist, he's a criminal, he's a sex addict, he's a jerk, he's everything you can possibly, well, guess what? John, doesn't that kind of free them up over here a little bit?
Well, it does. There's only so many minutes in a news cycle, and they want to take up all the space and not give any room for anything positive.
Sit, Sean. Yeah. You're on it, bud. They don't want to give any more. He's spot on. They don't want to give any more room in the news cycle.
Yeah, can't say anything positive.
Well, why do that? In other words, when you've got all this crime over here and you have all these scandals coming in, and like John said, but I'm trying to get you, think big here. Pull out, come up to 30,000 feet. If you've got some, they know they did some bad deeds. I mean, this isn't speculation here. The DNC, look at the Bernie Sanders campaign. Look at the Democratic operatives. Look at the uranium scandal. Look at the email scandal. Look at the service in the House. Look at the Benghazi. I mean, it's on and on and on and on and on.
It's really big. Yeah,
and the FISA abuse and all of this. I mean, when you tie this up to the, but the best way to do this, Ava, was to start calling Trump a buffoon from day one. So before he ever stepped into the White House, the man, of course he's ridden with scandals because you labeled him as such. Of course, the guy has played right into it, more or less. How do you feel with all of this, him being labeled and nailed down like this, with all of this scandalous activities? How has he done overall, in your opinion?
Well, I think he's kept the promises that he made to the extent that he can. And because of that, I give him high marks. Certainly there are, economic indicators that say that he's doing a pretty good job. If you want to look at jobs numbers, stock market to some extent. But of course, unemployment is the big thing because in the previous administration, they thought the economy was good when more people were on welfare and food stamps. And now everyone is saying, well, wait a minute, isn't it better if we're working, so we're giving rather than taking? So I think turning that mindset around, it's still going to take some time, but I think he's done a good job of doing that. I think as importantly, when it comes to handling his scandal level, he's been very good at knowing when to be quiet and when to speak. And a good example would be how little he said in the last week about the stripper who's trying to bilk him for money.
Right, right. Yeah, no, we have commented on that, as you know, in this program many times, John. That's a great observation. If he has definitely, they've played it properly here, you're right, to stay away from this one no matter what. And I just hope he continues to do that, because they're all, what's really good about that is all of the big television personalities in the Democrat land, right now they're badly constipated, John. You see? Constipated. Yeah. You can just see the grimaces on their face, and they just don't know what to do at this point. What do you mean the president? How dare he? That's what they're doing. The president hasn't said anything. What's up with this? I mean, this isn't right. I mean, doesn't he have something to say about this storm? I mean, they are dying. They are dying over there, man.
Yeah,
instead of just telling the facts, the media today, basically, they don't ask questions. They make accusations.
Totally.
And so he's done a very good job of saying, I can't trust you guys anymore. I'm going to tweet.
Well, hey, John.
And I think
it's like we say at the top of this program, John, Walter Cronkite is dead. Did you know that?
I had a feeling. I'd read it somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, the news is gone, buddy. There is no more news. You know that. You know,
it's done. Right. It's all done. And as I've stated many times that what we basically have now is the media are basically saying this is our opinion, and that way you can't. It makes it very difficult to take them to court for slander or libel.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because it's it's my opinion.
It's their opinion. They all have an opinion.
The thing about that is, too, it makes it very difficult to ascertain if anything is correct or real that they're telling you, you know?
That's right. Yeah. Hence the term fake news.
Well, and it's in part of that is a strategy of suspension of reality. If they can get they can get people to suspend reality, everything from there's more than two genders to because you are this or this, your physiological makeup, you are racist or you hate this or you hate this. A lot of telling people what they are. And if you can get people to believe what you to believe that they are what someone else tells them they are, whether they are that or not, you can suspend reality. Now you've got an empty vessel you can fill with whatever message you want.
That is really topical here. I got to write that down. Suspension of reality. That says a lot. I was saying that, but John said it a lot better than I did. It's because he's such a damn good author, you know? Hold on.
Yes.
Let me write that down. Suspension of reality, right? Yeah. Oh, that's perfect. That should be the title of your new book, you know, Suspension of Reality. That's a great title of a book. Amy, you should steal that before John takes it. You
know, I think I will.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a great title. I'll buy that book in a hot second, kids. Yeah, you already got one order, okay?
There
it counts for anything, yeah. That's well said. It is a suspension of reality. That is what's happened, and that's happened from day one, actually. So, of course, yes, the president, the whole scandal, everything is ridden with scandals, but that's what they wanted. This is the new reality, John. It's the new reality. This is the ultimate shell game, the ultimate shell game. And we're all sitting back here a bit bedaffled, not really sure what the hell is going on, and the shell keeps changing quickly. Somebody said to me yesterday, are they still talking about that FISA thing? I mean, I am so tired of hearing that garbage. I said, why are you listening to that? This was a lady friend of mine said that. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor. I mean, jeez, just comment.
Well, the real irony of all of this, I think, is the mainstream media has turned this into a reality show. Because they're really not real anymore. And Donald Trump was a reality show star, but he's now a real person.
Yeah.
So this is opposite world. I call it opposite world. Okay?
That's another book I'm telling you right there. That's a whole nother. We're gonna write all these down, guys. This is gonna be a jail session for books, for authorship here. Between the great Dave Armstrong and the fantastic John Corden here. So, all right, listen, I wanna talk to you both about the Pope comes out and says, did you see this story? There is no hell?
Yes, I saw this.
This is unbelievable. Gosh. I mean, if you're all following this, so listen to this. In another interview with his longtime atheist friend, Eugenio Scalfari, Pope Francis claims that hell does not exist and that condemned souls just disappear. Sort of like you would like some of your enemies to, people, you know? the interview was between Scalfari and the Pope and was published just here last day and a half or so ago here in the La Repubblica. John, you see this story here?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Are you a Catholic, John?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Do you give a rat's ass then? You don't have to answer that, Your Honor.
I think as someone, we look at the Pope, we look at the Dalai Lama, we look at religious leaders, certainly people, especially people in the White House, people in Congress, people listen to, and Billy Graham is another more close to home example.
Right.
People listen to these guys, so I think when they come out and say something, especially that's counter to what everybody believes church doctrine is, then it's another suspension of reality to a lot of people.
I'll tell you,
everything I grew up with is wrong.
Yeah, that's it. That's what this story is doing right now. I like the way you say when you put religious leaders in a pocket. I think what you're saying is maybe that we hold them in respectful terms. In other words, whether you're Catholic or not, he's still the Pope, right, John? I mean,
well, and supposedly he's got a red telephone that talks to God. So, you know, he's in a position where a lot of people think he basically knows more.
Right, right.
And so they look to him for guidance. So.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that red phone, it surfaces every now and then, Ava, where you'd
well,
you
my
hear
big,
about that.
My big question is, has he read the text? Okay. Has he read the Bible? Because let me tell you, there is hell, okay? And it, not only in the Bible has it been written about, but it's been also written about in many other sacred texts as well. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I just thought this was so off the cuff and out there.
All right, it was.
Was he drinking too much wine?
A couple
wine
glasses
or
of wine or something, maybe. Well, let me finish telling you the story here so my Catholic friends don't nail me to the cross here next. So hang on a minute here. I've got a couple other things I got to tell you about on this story, okay? So, first of all, the story comes out that lashback with senior Catholic people, they come out and they say this is a denial of the 2,000-year-old teaching of the Catholic Church about the reality of hell and the eternal existence of the soul, which is kind of what you're questioning, Ava, more or less, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this
mm-hmm.
has been, this is what we were taught, this is what we know, this is what it is. Now, Scalfari says to the Pope, Your Holiness, I'm in quotes now, this is Scalfari, his atheist friend, and the Pope has kind of, well, the Pope has gotten hell before in the past for befriending this atheist, but the Pope kind of, he uses him as a sounding board. And I think some of us, because I most of my friends are Christian friends, John, but I have a couple of atheist ones that I would like to try to save. And I kid them with that now and then, but in all seriousness, but you know, and I think the Pope is trying to save him, more or less, this friend, Scalfari. He likes him. So he says, Scalfari says to him, because I've read, there's a history here with this, and I've read previous stories about this, so this is not entirely new to me. So he says, Your Holiness, in our previous meeting you told me that our species will disappear in a certain moment, and that God, still out of his creative force, will create a new species. You have never spoken to me about the souls who died in sin and will go to hell to suffer for eternity. You have, however, spoken to me of good souls admitted to the contemplation of God. But what about bad souls? Where are they punished? Pope Francis says they are not punished. Those who repent obtain the forgiveness of God and enter the rank of souls who contemplate him. But those who do not repent and cannot therefore be forgiven disappear. There is no hell. There is no disappearance of sinful souls. Now follow me here a minute. Now, this is what is said, but then they're saying, well, that was out of context. Well, when they changed the language on this, it was wrong. Well, the Pope, that's not really what he said. So right away, everybody started to come up. Well, there was an official statement, Ava, that was put out at the end here that they have added to the story now. And it was a kind of a message from the Vatican. And it says, they updated it. Do you follow me? It's a statement from the Vatican below. What do they call that? You know, when you have an update to a story. Is there official, what do they call an update when you do that, John?
It's a revision.
A revision. Yeah, I knew you authors would know what I'm talking about. Okay.
Right.
And as soon as I can find that revision, I'm going to tell you what it is. More nozzle in just a minute.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutLoud.com, where the conversation never ends. The 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Our listeners, here's what the Vatican said with their statement to follow up with the Pope and Scalfari. It says, the Holy Father, Francis, recently received the founder of the newspaper in a private meeting on the occasion of Easter, without, however, giving him any interviews. What is reported by the author in today's article is the result of his reconstruction, in which the textual words pronounced by the Pope are not quoted. There is no quotation of the aforementioned article, must therefore be considered as a faithful transcription of the words of the Holy Father. Therefore, it is not true.
Yes, and the thing that, this is the thing that really makes me angry. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm angry with this Pope. I was born as a Catholic, brought up and raised as a Catholic all of my life, and I'm now Jewish, okay? But this was a teachable moment for this Pope to give this atheist, okay? There was a teachable moment to explain what mortal sins are and all of that, and he let it go. He didn't even do it. So I'm wondering to myself, why? Why would you say that? You know, it doesn't even make sense. And I'm Jewish and I feel this way.
I like that, John, a teachable moment, you know. I think it was, wasn't it? I think Ava's got a point, don't you think?
Well, I think so. I think the most important thing to take away is the Holy Father required to follow doctrine, or has the Holy Father got a license to share his personal views? Mm-hmm. Because certainly in any religion, in any organized belief, there's always some amount of variables. It's called a faith because so much of it cannot be scientifically proven. So everyone's going to have a few different things that they accept and don't accept. Does the Pope have the license to speak publicly against church doctrine based on his own beliefs?
The answer to that question is no.
Yeah, you know, think about this for a second. This is a huge issue. It's not just like he's like making some little small boo-boo, okay? Yeah. This is like really, really major. This is one of the reasons why people don't sin. This is why you don't murder somebody, okay? This is what a mortal sin is. A mortal sin is something horrible. I mean, it's the worst. And this was a moment that he could have explained to this atheist guy what all about what religion is. Religion is a stopgap. It's part of your conscience as a human being to be a good person and not a bad person, right, and not to do evil things. And I'm talking murder and things like that are horribly evil.
Right.
So this was a moment for this Pope to explain that.
Yeah, it probably was. You know, John, anytime, to your point before then, that a Pope comes out and says anything, they're supposedly speaking for the entire Catholic Church. They're representative, they're heading the church, they are embodiment of whatever the church is. They're one in one. So the Pope being in step with the entire Catholic doctrine, I think, is probably critical for them. And they don't let a Pope have their own opinions. It's not the Pope's agenda, it's about the Catholic Church agenda. But your point is very interesting, and I've seen others get into trouble with that before. This Pope is very fascinating to me, actually, Ava. I kind of enjoy him because he comes across as an everyday man's Pope. He goes out with people. He probably has he's out on the streets. He helps people. He goes undercover. He talks. He's very simple. He meets with people.
I know he's
like
kind of the Mother Teresa of popes. Okay,
yeah,
I understand that, and I know he's a good man in many
he
ways.
Is,
but
he is, yeah.
You know, I just he think he's the Donald Trump of popes.
Ooh,
okay,
that's interesting. There's another great
well,
line.
Well, I think he should really think before he speaks sometimes, you know?
The Donald Trump
and
of popes,
and he does, so. And I don't think he did. I don't think
yeah,
he
but
did.
You always say Donald Trump doesn't have to think before he speaks, so why should the Pope?
Well, I mean, Donald Trump made a boo-boo today, too.
Uh-oh.
He said we were pulling out of Syria.
Yes, I see that. Tell us about that, please.
And that could have been a planned thing to say, and then to have the Department of Defense say, weren't supposed to say that. So now the enemy would say, well, which one was right?
Yeah, the Pentagon is surprised. They were caught with their drawers down at the bottom of their ankles on this one for sure. Yeah, he did say that. But I'm wondering if that wasn't part of his strategy. John, do you think that was a strategy or was it a mistake?
I think it's 100% strategy.
Yeah,
one of the things
too.
that Trump said, and one of the things that's amazed me as a soldier who understands classification, and as we used to say, if you're not coming along, you don't need to know where I'm going. I think it was totally misdirection. You're not supposed to be telegraphing your moves to your enemies, and I think he's just messing with them. As we were talking about earlier, some people are trying to fill the news cycle with their message, so there's no room for other. I think he may just be making some of the opposition on the ground kind of busy with trying to figure out what he says so they don't see what he does.
Ava, that was my take on it, what John just said. That was my take on that story early today, that this was not accidental, even though the stories were, the Pentagon's upset, Mattis didn't know. I think they all know. I think it's part of the strategy. I think he's just playing them.
I do. I think it was calculated. There isn't much that Trump does that isn't calculated.
Exactly.
Even his tweets are very calculated.
Yeah. It seems to be. He's again, Warshak has said from the beginning, he plays three-level chess, is how he describes it. Some days five-level chess, John. You mm-hmm. never really know with that man.
That's a very Covfefe thing to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he's doing it, buddy. So, hey, he calls it as we see it here on the network. So, listen, I want to talk to you both about Laura Ingraham. I know you've been following this story because you'd have to be living under a rock not to know this story. So, everybody knows this story by this point, so we probably don't need much of a setup. So, there's the young man, the kid, I think he's like 18 or something like that, David Hogg, I believe. I may have the age off a year or so, but he's a young student at the Parkland School there, in Parkland, that school. That long name. What the hell's the name of that school again, guys?
Madison something something.
Yeah, it's a long name, whatever it is.
Stoneham, Madison Stoneham, I think it
is. Yeah, all right. Stoneham, Cheatham and Howe in Parkland. But that school there. So there's a war going on, and this kid and his sister and mother and family and people are taking it right to Laura Ingraham. If you watched her program last night, she never brought it up at all. They're really kind of flaunting her now. They're all over media flaunting with her. Advertisers are pulling out. She said not some nice things about the kid. The kid's not happy. He's asking for a boycott with advertisers like Sleep Number, ATT, Nutrish, Allstate, Bayer, Liberty Mutual, a whole Arby's, Nestle, a whole bunch of them. Wayfair, Hulu, and many of them are pulling out already. Hulu, I'm looking at a tweet right here. A tweet says, we'd like to confirm that we are no longer advertising on Laura Ingraham's show and are monitoring all of our ad placements carefully. So they're all over that, and that's what happens when you have advertisers like that. You have to play to them. But anyways, interesting with this story. Who is right and who is wrong with this story? What do you think, Ava? Who's right and who's wrong?
Well, I think she had every right to say what she said about him. And she's right. You know, she has an opinion, and she has a show, and she has a platform. And, you know, and she said a few things, and there really wasn't anything that horrible. I refuse to give this kid any space on my timeline. I mean, I just don't. If I don't buy your bullshit, I don't pay attention to you.
So you're staying away from the story.
I stay away from stuff like that because I find it's bullshit, really. Okay. And and it's too bad that Laura stepped in the bullshit. I mean, that's
definitely
the way
stepped into
it.
John, how do you see it?
Yeah.
Well, I think there's two things to consider. One is that this kid is a kid, and there's a couple other that maybe are not as prominent as him who are speaking out, and I believe they're backed by adults somewhere who are using them as tools, and so they're saying, okay, we're gonna put the children out front, but we're gonna give them the message, and I think that's a problem. They shouldn't be using these kids in this way. And
we all agree with. But did Laura Ingraham overstep her bounds, do you think, John?
No, I think he wanted to speak out like an adult, and he got an adult response.
Okay.
However, I think my second point regarding all this is that this whole thing about we're going to pull advertising, we're going to boycott one side or the other is ridiculous. If we can't civilly talk about whatever the issues are that we share in life without having to boycott and align with one group or the other, to the point where someday we're going to say, okay, well, if I'm going to, if I want to watch movies online, I've got a conservative or a liberal service. Which one do I go with? Well, I always go with conservative.
Yeah.
We don't need to be doing that.
Well, John, you bring up good points, man. Good points. Listen, John, I'm totally with you with civil discourse. It's an art that is long lost. And I want you to know right here, it's the first time we met today, but listen, it's one of the things I'm so prideful of America Out Loud, John, is civil discourse. Yeah, we sometimes have a little bite of humor with it, but we have liberal, conservative views, independent views, all kinds of views on the network and platform. If you ever listen to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure at 5 o'clock on the network, you'll know that I host that with 7 liberals and 3 conservatives on any given day, huh, Ava?
Yeah.
And that's what our discussions are. But it's not about getting nasty. It's not about calling people names and using four-letter words and being horrific. That doesn't need that, John. I agree with you. Why can't we be respectful of each other and agree to disagree? And it's okay. I can still talk to you. We can still have a coffee. You're still my friend. I got a lot of great friends that have different viewpoints than me. So what? That's what makes life interesting. What's the problem? You know?
Yeah.
Well, one of the feedbacks I got when I distributed beta reader copies of Desire mm-hmm. was my story is about eradicating corrupt politicians in interesting and fun ways.
Wow.
When I gave that story out to people to read, they all came back and said, well, you've got a congressman, you've got an assemblyman, you've got all these characters, but you don't say which ones are Democrats or Republicans. You don't say if they're liberal. You don't say if they're liberal or conservative. I need to know whether or not I need to like this person. And I said, well, I don't mention ideology.
Moment of truth,
I
John.
I don't mention parties. And they're coming back and say, but I need that to be
Moment
able to
truth.
Know whether I like them. And I said, no, you don't. Look at what they do.
Yeah, you, John, that's perfect. That is absolutely brilliant. That just pulls the rabbit hat off there, Ava. That's all that does, and expose the truth, because nobody really wants to know the truth. Well, here's the thing. On that basis, brilliant thing. We got to circle back in the future here on Desire. We got to talk more about that philosophy you have there, John, on another program, another show, another day for sure, because I love that philosophy of what you did there.
Mm-hmm.
Ava, you know that. You agree with that.
Oh, it's brilliant.
It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant, yeah. Listen, I got to tell you both, though. I don't agree with you with Laura Ingraham, though. Now, I like Laura Ingraham normally. She's gotten mm-hmm. a little showy. I will say to you both this. Let me be honest, as I always am. I'm going to give you my out loud truth. Mm-hmm. I think her britches have gotten a little bit big for her waist size, quite frankly. And I've noticed her personality getting a little over the top recently in different ways. But here's the problem. I think Laura stepped into it, but I think she's wrong here. And here's why. Did you see the tweet she put out against this kid Hogg? Here's the actual tweet. You don't do this against a student, no matter what the score is. She said, this is a grown, radio successful television host, radio host extraordinaire. Mm-hmm. Come on. And you put a tweet like this out there that says this? She puts, David Hogg rejected by 4 colleges to which he applied and whines about it. Dinged by UCLA with a 4.1 GPA, totally predictable given acceptance rates. And then she apologized for it afterward with the other tweet and what have you. But Ava, you don't say that about a kid and a student in a town, in a city, with any kind of... You don't say that on a good day, Ava. You certainly don't say that on a day with a school shooting, whoever it is. You just don't say
See, it. Personally, I would not have engaged with these kids.
Exactly.
Because like John said, right up front, the very first night they were on that CNN thing with Dana Lash and what they said to her and Marco Rubio, that was a big red flag, mm-hmm. okay? And right away, I said, no.
Well, Ava, the first interview she did with this kid was very good, Ava. She did a great interview. Did you see the first interview she did with this kid?
No, I didn't.
It was right the night it happened. And I just watched the video back yesterday. And it's as if solid in the pocket. She was really humbled. She did an excellent job. I applaud her for that. Mm-hmm. But when she sent this tweet out to hit this kid below the knees, it was reckless. Reckless. You don't do that and hit a student.
But like John said, you know, between the tweet that she sent out, you know, there's been a lot of time that has elapsed here and a lot of things that have gone on publicly. Okay?
They're giving it to her now, though, man. They're tightening the screws, man, I have to tell you here. So
I think it's way over the top myself.
Well, it is. But, you know, you don't put... John, am I wrong? Do you condone that tweet she put out?
No, I think she should have let it go by. I mean, he did more damage to himself by whining how he couldn't get in.
Exactly.
Lots of kids get rejection letters. You know, at Berkeley, they always talk about how many thousand kids a year don't get in that have perfect GPAs. Right. So to not get into every school he applied to is not a big deal. I would be more concerned about why he was going public with it.
Yeah. No, that's right. They were already doing it to themselves, but she should have stayed away from that. But the lessons in this, Ava, is that you can't, you just can't put certain tweets out there or messages. It doesn't have to be a tweet, could be anything. But you don't put a message out there that slights somebody for their intellectual value of something like that from a kid and a student in a school with a shooting in a city where there's hurt and pain.
Yeah.
You just
don't
do it.
I wouldn't have touched it because it's a hot mess. Yeah. You know?
So she, I got to tell you, when she started her program yesterday, I felt bad for her in the way that she was not herself. Obviously, there were big meetings with the producers before her show yesterday. It was the first show that she came back on with the advertisers pulling out, the big publicity. The question is, will it die down or will she have to say something more about it? She did not say anything yesterday. Listen, we think overall she does a pretty good job. I think she brings a good conservative message to the airwaves overall. And I applaud that. I'm not trying to say differently. But there is a line of what is acceptable and what isn't acceptable is all I'm saying. And John is 100% right when he says there are people playing the kids as puppets that are pulling the strings. John, I totally agree with that. It's the kids are not totally there in the front. They don't even understand what the apparatus is here, what the Bill of Rights is, what the amendments. They don't even quite connect all the dots here yet. So clearly, you know.
And, you know, the thing that was a little bit scary about all that, too, was, when that tragedy happened and these kids immediately went on the road. I mean, they hadn't even had time to process any of this. Yeah. And it was just like John said, they were being pushed out too early. And it was just everyone was just grabbing them and putting them on TV. And it was just horrible. Yeah. I thought it was just very, very bad.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, listen, I want to send out again best wishes to all of our fan base, all of our listeners, all of you brilliant people out there. Happy Easter. Happy Passover. Good Friday. Wishing you the best, of course, and that you have a terrific weekend here just ahead. And also, Viewpoint this Sunday, this week, we'll have a special program as we take a look at America the Beautiful. We'll talk a little bit more about that and Easter, and really a good program there. Tune in there as well, 10 a.m. Sunday morning here. Listen, we're at the point of the show where we give our predictions and really talk about what's going to happen here. Let's go ahead and have John start first. John, please take a few seconds here. Give us your predictions, please.
Well, we didn't cover this topic, but very briefly, with all the rebellion going on at the sheriff level and now at the grassroots level, I'm predicting that the sanctuary state law here in California has less than 30 days before it struck down.
Interesting, John. John, we've been all over that topic on America Out Loud, as you know, sir. And I'd like to talk more about that with you on another program, but we've been all over that in the Sanctuary City thing. And by the way, what's going on in Sacramento, California is another shameful thing we've been talking about in the uprising there and the riots. Ava, please give us your prediction, please.
I see Stormy Daniels circling the drain, but the mainstream media is going to try to pull her out.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that one either. For sure, and as long as the president stays away from that, my prediction is it will be a short-lived story as well. Because why, you ask? Because there is no story there, friends. And the other thing I'll say, before we throw rocks at other people, maybe we should think about walking in their sandals or their shoes potentially here. It's easy to pass judgment, but it's another thing to realize the shoes or sandals one has walked in. We never really do know people, so you know what? I think we all need to chill a little bit in this country. And as John Corden says, civil discourse. Will you chill, baby? Chill, baby. Hey, that's it. My prediction is we'll be back Monday, same time, same place, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Nozzle off.